Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Friday, the 17th of February, 2017. We're in the book of Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu in the Hebrew, and we're going to be beginning at chapter 8. I want to give you a little information on verse 1 here in chapter 8. Now, when people died, they put them on a slab in a tomb, and after decomposition, after they totally just were nothing but bones, the bones were put in a small box called an ossuary and then stored in the family tomb, because the big slab was for the process of decomposition. Jerusalem was on a rock mountain, and all were interred above the ground in hewn out sepulchres. They had to chisel into the rock, and families owned sepulchres, and they had little shelves in there for all the bones of the ancestors, because when they finally decomposed, they didn't have graveyards with thousands of people in them like we do today. They put the bones in a box, and they put the box up on a shelf with an identifier on it, carved into it, that told whose bones they were. Well, that gives you a little background here on the thing about the bones. So that's what we're going to get into in verse 1. I needed to clear the pipes and get a drink of coffee here. Let's get into verse 1 of chapter 8. At that time, declares Yahweh, they shall bring forth the bones of the kings of Yehuda, and the bones of his officers, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets. Now, these are the false prophets that were lying. And the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem from their sepulchres. Verse 2. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of the sky, whom they have loved and whom they have served, and to whom they have prostrated themselves. They shall not be gathered, nor be buried. They shall be as dung upon the surface of the ground. And the host of the sky were the planets and stuff. They worshiped them. And also, host of the sky means the fallen angels, because they came down from the sky. And the pagan worship of the sun, moon, and stars was common, and it was a big reason for Yahweh's wrath on Jerusalem. Verse 3, and death shall be chosen over life by all the remnants of those who remain from this evil clan, which remain in all the places that I have driven them, declares Yahweh of hosts. Who is he talking about? What evil clan? Okay, just think on that. These were the apostate people. Now, I know everybody likes to bash on the Jews today. You hear a lot of that. But there are a lot of Israelites doing evil. Now, some say they're corrupted by the Jews. Perhaps some of them are, but not all. There are people of our own race that are willingly sinning. More money in it because they don't believe. They're not believers in Yahweh. They're not believers in eternal life. They're not believers in good over evil. They only believe in themselves and the stuff that they can gather. So, put the blame where it lies. Our own people are our own worst enemies. They are the traitors because they look like us and they talk like us and walk like us. And they're white and they're traitors to their own race. The Jews have a minor excuse because they're Jews. But these people have no excuse. Verse 4. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says Yahweh, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Verse 5. Why is this people of Jerusalem returned to rebellious apostasy? They hold fast to deceit and refuse to return. To return to the worship of Yahweh is what he's talking about. Verse 6. I listened and heard, but they spoke not uprightly. No man regretted of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone returned to his course of life. That's 4794. As the horse rushes into battle. Verse 7. Yea, the stork in the sky knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove and the swallow and the auger, it's an unknown type of bird, 5693, observe the time of their coming when they migrate. But my people know not the judgment of Yahweh. Verse 8. How do you say we are wise and the Torah of Yahweh is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made you it. In other words, you made it vain. Here's an important verse. The stylus of the scribes, stylus 5842, of the scribes, 5608, is a lie, 8267. In other words, those that wrote it down changed verses, just like they have in all these English translations today. Removing the holy name, perverting the scriptures. And the lie is 8267, and that is sheker, as practice fraud by mistranslation. They mistranslated things. Even then, in his time, they were dabbling, and the Edomites had worked their way in. The Edomites getting into things is not new. Verse 9. The wise are ashamed. They are dismayed and caught. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh. And what wisdom is in them? Those that are considered wise. You listen to some of these preachers on these TV shows, and the stuff that they preach is absolute garbage. They don't know the scriptures. They know what they want to accomplish, and they do that. Well, here we are at verse 10, and verses 10 through 12, you can reference Jeremiah 6, 12 through 15. Therefore I will give their wives unto others, and their fields to those that will inherit. For all, from the least unto the greatest, is greedy for gain. From the prophet unto the priest, all deal fraudulently. That's what we got today. What have we got today? TV preachers. Whew. Greedy for gain. Verse 11. For they have healed the fractures of the daughter of my people slightly. That's Jerusalem, the daughter of my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And verse 11, you can reference Ezekiel 13, verse 10. Well, they say today, peace, peace, we're looking for peace, but yet they make more war all the time. Verse 12, were they ashamed because they had committed abomination and worshiping these false idols and stuff? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither knew they humiliation. Therefore, they shall fall among those that fall. Then they're going to be killed among those that are going to be killed. In the time of their visitation, and that's of punishment, they shall be cast down. 3:7-8:2 says Yahweh. Verse 13, I will surely consume them, that's 5:4-8:6 doubled, declares Yahweh. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and what I have given shall pass away from them. In other words, he's just going to cut them off from the world. Well, that applies to today. We're going to have famine and pestilence and all this stuff that's forecast for the tribulation. And what do we do there, folks? I mean, you know. 14. This is Yeshayahu speaking. For what reason do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the fortified cities, and let us be silent there. 18:26. For Yahweh Eloheinu has put us to silence. 18:26. And given us water of bitterness. 7:2-1:9. To drink. Because we have sinned against Yahweh. Verse 15, and you can reference Jeremiah 14:19. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of healing, and behold, terror. 1:2:05. The snorting of the horses. 5:4:8:3, and that's figurative for soldiers, was heard from Dan. 18:35. The whole land trembled from the sound of the neighing, 4:6:8:4, of his mighty ones. That's 47, Abirev, again, as soldiers. For they have come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell in it. Here's Yahweh speaking again. For behold, I will send serpents, 5:1:7:5, vipers, 6:8:4:8, among you that will not be charmed, 3:9:0:8, and they shall bite you, 5:3:9:1, declares Yahweh. Now these are figuratives of evil men. And serpents, 5:1:7:5, can mean an enchanter. And here it goes back to Yirmiyahu speaking. Pardon me for a second, folks. Ah, that's better. Hot coffee. Verse 18. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Verse 19. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of those that dwell in a far country. these foreign troops coming in to invade. Is not Yahweh in Zion? Is not her king in her? That's just what they're crying. Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved idols and with racial aliens' idols? That's Yahweh's response to that. They were worshiping gods of foreign lands, and they wondered why Yahweh was angered. It was a mystery to them. They just couldn't see it. And today we have been given the law. We know it. It's available. You can go to a store and buy a Bible. Couldn't back then. But even with the proliferation of the word, do we obey the law? Do we worship stuff and genuflect to idols and light candles and do pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter? Of course we do. And the churches approve of it. Goes on right in the churches. And we wonder why we have all this trouble. Verse 20. The harvest has passed, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Of course they're not. We're not saved today because we're worshiping in vain. And we keep trying to tell people, and they hate us for telling them. They don't want to hear the word. They hate the word. The word makes them uncomfortable. They might have to change their lifestyle and obey, and they don't want to do that. They're more in love with this world than they are Yahweh. What do we do about that? As individual Israelites, we can't change these people. We can only quote the word. And then the decision rests on them. Personal responsibility has a great deal to do with our faith. I mean, one, the faithful, those that have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, hear the word, it makes them joyful. And they try to obey the law because they want to. They love Yahweh more than the world, and they want to be obedient. I see that when I'm in with CI people, their lifestyles are totally different from the rest of the population. We are a set apart, peculiar people. We're not like the other people. And people think we're strange. And to them, we are. We are strange to them because they're strangers to the law and to Yahweh. Even though they may be of Israelite bloodline. Everybody's not going to make it. We can only do what we can and just keep on. Even if we have defeat after defeat after defeat, somewhere, some of the seeds that we plant of the word of Yahweh are going to take root. We just can't give up. It says we're going to be hated in Scripture. Okay. They hated our Messiah. So, if they see him in us, they'll hate us too. What can we do about that? Absolutely nothing. It is foretold that this is what is going to take place. So do we, in our desire for popularity, leave Yahweh and go back to the world? Oh, for heaven's sakes, no. We just keep on keeping on. Never said it was going to be easy. Verse 21. For the breaking of the daughter of my people am I broken. That's the breaking of Jerusalem. I am dark. Okay. 6937. That's dressed for mourning. Cadareti. Appalment 8047. Shama has taken hold on me. Verse 22. Is there no balm, 6875, in Gilead, 1568? Is there no healer there? Why then is not the healing, 724, of the daughter of my people arisen, 5927? He's speaking of Jerusalem. He's mourning for what's coming to Jerusalem because he's a prophet. And verse 22, you can reference Jeremiah 46, 11. Verse 23, oh, that my head gave waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people, the slain in Jerusalem. This is a warning by Yahweh of what is to come with all the apostasy of false worship going on in Yehuda and Jerusalem. Horses and snakes are used to represent men, just as in other scriptures, they're figuratives. We've seen how the scribes mistranslated the Holy Word in verse 8. This is very evident in the modern English translations that have removed the name of Yahweh and put in the Lord. This started long ago. But a lot of us have been called to set this right, and now we know the holy name. Jerusalem is called the daughter of my people a lot. The King James and others have 22 verses in this chapter, but the Hebrew has 23. Chapter 9:1 in the King James Version is verse 23 in chapter 8. Chapter 9 will begin with verse 2 of chapter 9 in the King James. I'm going by the Hebrew order here. So let's get into chapter 9. Let me get a hit of coffee before I hold forth here. Oh, that I had been given a place of lodging for travelers in the wilderness, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they are all adulterers, in other words, they fornicate with foreign gods, an assembly of treacherous men. And here's Yahweh speaking. They bend their tongues like a bow for lies, but they will not prevail because the truth is upon the land. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know me not, declares Yahweh. Take you heed, every man of his neighbor, and trust you not in any kinsman, for every kinsman will surely overreach, that's 6117 doubled, and every neighbor will walk in slander, 7400. Can you trust your neighbors and kinsmen today? Are they not doing the same thing our own brethren of Israel in these Judeo-Christian churches? Does nothing but bash us. We are considered the enemy in these churches because we teach the truth. Oh, but we're all brothers and everybody's saved and we're all gonna... Oh, please. Touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy. And so untrue. So very untrue. Teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. Verse 4, and they will deceive each man his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to act perversely. They've taught their tongue to speak lies. They repeat them over and over and over so often that it automatically comes out. Verse 5. Your habitation is in the midst of deceit. 48:20. Through deceit they refuse to know me, declares Yahweh. They don't want to hear the word of Yahweh. They want to hear what makes them feel good. Verse 6. Therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, behold, I will smelt them, 6:8:8:4, and test them, 9:7:4, for how shall I act from the presence of the daughter of my people? The Jerusalem. Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit, speaking peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in the inner being, 71:30, he lays in wait. Oh. Verse 8. Shall I not visit punishment upon them over these? Declares Yahweh. Shall not myself be avenged on such a nation as this? What's he doing today? Shall he not be avenged on such a nation as this? Well, the gay rights people don't want to hear that. The race mixers don't want to hear that. Jew lovers don't want to hear that. Verse 9. Over the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and over the pasture lands of the wilderness a dirge. It's a funeral song. Because they are burned up. 3:3:4:1. So that no man can pass through. Pasture lands in the wilderness are burned up. Neither can be heard the voice of livestock, or from the birds of the sky or beasts, for they are fled and gone. Destroy the land all around them. Well, it's still pretty much destroyed over there. Verse 10, I will make Yerushalayim a heap. That's legalim, like a heap of stones, is a ruin. And a lair, 4, 5, 8, 3, of jackals, 8, 5, 6, 5. Tanim. And I will make the cities of Yehuda waste so that there is no inhabitant. That ends Yahweh speaking. Here's Jeremiah again. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who to whom the mouth of Yahweh has spoken that he may declare it? Over what reason the land perishes and is burned up like a wilderness that none passes through? In other words, who can understand what Yahweh just said? Verse 12. And there's Yahweh speaking again. And Yahweh says, because they have forsaken, 5,800, my Torah, 8:4:5:1, which I set before them and have not heard my voice nor walked in it, but have walked after the stubbornness of their own heart and after Baalim, which their ancestors taught them. Verse 14. Therefore thus says Yahweh of hosts, Elohei Israel, that's the God of Israel. Behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood, 3939, that's la'ana, figuratively of bitterness, and give them the water of bitterness, 7219, that's rosh, to drink. Verse 15, I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their ancestors have known. What has happened? Have we been scattered? Of course. And I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. A lot of the people in that time period died. Verse 16. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, consider, 995, and call for the chanting women, 6969, these were professional mourners, that they may come and send for wise women, 2450, that they may come. Verse 17, and let them make haste, 4116, and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids flow with waters. Verse 18, for a voice of wailing is heard from Zion. How are we spoiled, 7703, that's plundered. We are greatly ashamed because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings, 4908, have cast us out, 7993. Verse 19, here's Jeremiah speaking again. Yet hear, O you women, the word of Yahweh, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters willing, and every woman her neighbor a dirge. Verse 20, because death has come up into our windows, 2474, and is entered into our palaces, 759, to cut off the children from without, 2531, and the young men from the streets, 7339. Speak, thus declares Yahweh, the carcasses, 5038, of Adam shall fall as dung upon the surface of the field, and as the fallen grain, 5995, from after the harvester, 7114, and none shall gather them. Verse 22. Thus says Yahweh, let not the wise boast, 1984, in wisdom, neither let the mighty boast in might. Let not the rich boast in riches. Verse 23, and you can reference 1 Corinthians 1, verse 31. But let he that boasts boast in this, that he is prudent and knows me, that I am Yahweh, which does loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the land. For in these I delight, 2654, declares Yahweh. Verse 24, behold, the days come, declares Yahweh, that I will visit punishment upon all circumcised with the uncircumcised. In other words, it doesn't matter who you are, he's going to visit punishment. Whether you've circumcised yourself according to the law or not, upon Mitzrayim and upon Yehuda and upon Edom and upon the children of Ammon and upon Moab and upon all that cuts off the hair on the sides that dwell in the wilderness, pagan hairstyles, and shaved the temples of their heads. In other words, if you're circumcised, it's not going to save you, because circumcision don't save. Obedience to Yahweh does, through Yeshua Messiah. So it doesn't matter. You can be circumcised, but that's only a sign. Continuing on, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel uncircumcised in the heart. No obedience. So now we come to chapter 10. I'm looking to see how many verses are in it. I may be able to get through it. Let's see. I've got less than a half an hour, but verse 10, chapter 1. Let me get a hit of coffee before I get into the new chapter. Hear you the word that Yahweh speaks to you, house of Israel. Thus says Yahweh, learn not the way of the nations. Now the way, 1870, means the way of life and of worship. And be not dismayed at the signs of the sky, because the nations are dismayed at them. These are the non-Israel nations. For the customs of the people are worthless. 1892. Because one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the craftsman with the axe. They beautify it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it does not totter. Now, if that doesn't describe a Christmas tree, I don't know what does. Pagan custom. They are as the scarecrow in the cucumber patch and speak not. They need to be carried because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them because they cannot do evil, neither also that they can do good. In other words, these gods that they bow down to, and that's what you do to the Christmas tree, your presents are under the tree. You bow down to the tree of Mithra, the sun god. Oh my! That's Christmas for you. Yule. Verse 6. Here's Jeremiah speaking. There is none like you, Yahweh. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, King of Nations? Verse 7. You can reference Revelations 15, verse 4. Because to you it pertains, because as among all the wise of the nations and in all their kingdoms, none is like you. Talking about pagan idols. Verse 8. They are altogether brutish and stupid. The stock of wood is an instruction of worthlessness. In other words, pray to a chunk of wood or a stone. Verse 9. Silver beaten out comes from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the craftsman and the hands of the refiner. Violet and purple is their clothing, all the work of skilled men. Verse 10. But Yahweh is the true Elohim. He's the true God. He is the living Elohim and an everlasting king. At his wrath, 71:10, the land shall tremble, 7:4:9:3. And the nation shall not be able to endure, 3:5:5:7, his indignation, 21:95. These are the people that worship all these idols. Verse 11, thus shall you say to them, and this is in Aramaic, this verse, the Elohaya, 4:2:6, that have not made the sky and the land shall perish from the land and from under these skies. That's 4:20, Elohaya, that's 4:26, that's God's. They didn't make the sky and the land. They're just pieces of stone and wood. Verse 12. He has made the land by his power. Speaking of Yahweh. He has established the world. 8:3:9:8. That's correct. That's Tebel. He has established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the skies by his understanding. That's Yahweh, not pieces of stone and wood. Verse 13. And verses 13 through 16 equal 51, 16 through 19. It's the same thing, they repeat it. Verse 13, when he gives voice, there is a multitude of waters in the skies, and he causes the vapors, 5, 3, 8, 7, to ascend from the ends, 7097, of the land. He makes lightnings with rain and bring forth the wind from his storehouse. Verse 14. Every atom is brutish, 1197, in his knowledge. Every refiner is put to shame by the carved idol. For his cast image is false to falsehood, and there is no breath in them. 15. They are worthlessness, 1892. The work of errors, 8595. In the time of their visitation of punishment, they shall perish. All these idols will be destroyed, as the idols of today will be destroyed. All these things that mankind is worshiping now. Will pass away. Everything that you put before Yahweh is an idol. Verse 16. The portion of Jacob, that's Jacob, is not like them. For he is the former of all. He formed everything. And Israel is the tribe, 7626, of his inheritance. Yahweh of hosts is his name. That's our former. That's our king. That's our father. That's our redeemer. That's our savior. That's our divine being. Verse 17, gather up your bundle from the land, dweller under siege. Verse 18, for thus says Yahweh, behold, I will sling forth, 7049, that's Kolea, the inhabitants of the land at this time. And I will distress them, 6887, Wachatzeroti, that they may find it so. This is Jeremiah speaking again. Verse 19. Woe is me over my breaking, 7667. My wound, 4347, is severe, 2470. But I said, truly this is a wound, 2483, and I must bear it, 5375. 20. My tent is destroyed and all the cords are broken. My children have gone forth from me and are not, they aren't around anymore, none to stretch forth my tent anymore and to set up my curtains. Verse 21, because the shepherds have become brutish and have not sought Yahweh, so therefore they shall not prosper and all their flocks shall be scattered. And shepherds here are as pastors, and flocks are as a congregation. What's happening with the flocks today? They're scattered from Yahweh. Church membership is dropping because people see the lies that they're teaching. All of this is coming to pass because of apostasy. Hate to say that, but that's how it is. When you teach lies, eventually the lies are going to be discovered. The things that they're saying in the churches just don't add up. And people are leaving. Church membership is diminishing. Except in the TV mega churches, because they have a lot of advertising. And they're very glittery and sparkly and attractive. Verse 22, behold, The noise of the tidings, 8052, has come, and a great quaking, 7494, from the land of the north. That's quaking is Ra'ash. As the land is quaking from under many chariots and the horses of an invader. That's what they're coming down to get them. To make desolate the cities of Yehuda and a lair of jackals. Okay. Verse 23. Yahweh, I know that the way of Adam is not in himself, not in man, 376, that walks to prepare his steps, walks haphazardly. Verse 24, correct me, 3256, Yahweh, but with judgment, 4941, not in anger, lest you bring me to naught, 4591, bring him down to nothing. Here's verse 25, and you can reference Psalm 79, verse 6. Verse 25, pour out your fury upon the nations that know you not, that's the heathen nations, and upon the clans that call not upon your name. For they have eaten up Jacob, 3290, that's Israel, Jacob Israel, and devoured him and consumed him and has made his habitation devastated. Well, have not these enemies made our habitations devastated today? Our cities? We can't even walk in certain areas of our cities. Now, come on, folks. Look at what it was back then and look at what it is now and the similarities. What do we do about this? Well, as a whole, with all the problems, we as individuals cannot do anything because this is meant to be today. Why would Yahweh have all this stuff happen? Because it's a test of faith. We need to be tested. We deserve to be tested. He is testing to find out who will come to him and who will not. And woe be unto them that will not. Okay? All the fence sitters, we keep telling them and telling them and telling them and telling them. And if they're going to come off the fence, they will. And if they're not, then they won't. And they will be swept away. All we can do as individuals is exhort to righteousness and try to live this lifestyle of Yahweh as an example. Yahweh will bless us if we do that and protect us. It can't be lip service. It can't be a little game that you play when you go to a rally or a gathering. And then you go back to the world when you go back home, when nobody's watching you. Yahweh is watching you. Always. He knows your thoughts. He knows what's in your heart. You can lie to yourself. You can lie to others. But you can't lie to Yahweh. It's not going to work. You can't fake it. It has to be real. You either are going to go over to him 100% or you are not. Yeshua Messiah warns you what's going to happen if you're lukewarm. If you dabble in it, oh, I'm CI. Are you really? Are you calling yourself CI and you're a dabbler? It's a hobby. And the first time the world calls to you, you go to the way of the world. Oh, I gotta do this and do that. but it's on a high holy day. Well, yeah, right. Well, gonna work on the Sabbath day? Well, I'll lose my job. Time to find a new job. That's easy for you to say. No, it's not easy for anybody to say. Being faithful and being obedient is a full-time thing. I know it sounds harsh and, oh man, you're hateful. No, I'm not hateful. I'm just telling you the truth. And if the truth is unpleasant, I'm sorry. But it doesn't make it less true. Yahweh wants obedience rather than sacrifice. He says that over and over and over and over. He wants obedience rather than sacrifice. He's not interested in the blood of bulls and goats. Wants to sacrifice in your life, sacrifice the world, and pull out from it and come into his kingdom. Because the rules of his kingdom are different than the rules of the world. The behavior in the kingdom is different than the behavior in the world. The world is going to pass away, and if you are of the world, if you have chosen the world, you will pass away with it. He so loved his order of arrangement, each kind unto its kind, and love thy brother and thy neighbor, thy racial kinsman as thyself. Upon these hinge all the laws and the prophets. If you love Yahweh above everything else, you're going to automatically want to be obedient to him. It's not something anybody's going to have to pound in your head and have Pastor Steve running around with, chasing you around with a Bible. Nah, I don't do that. I'll lay the word out before you and you either take it or you leave it. You know? Well, I don't like Pastor Steve. He's mean. Okay, well, don't like me. I'm not here for a popularity contest. I'm here to preach the word. And if the word offends you, what does that say about you? If you're offended by the word of Yahweh, you have a spiritual problem. I love the word of Yahweh, and it constrains me at times too. I have impulses. Man, I sure would like to go shopping today, but it's a Sabbath. So I don't. I stay right here. I may be out of milk and out of coffee, but I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going to do purchases, do business on the Sabbath day. I'm not going to do that. I don't do it. Sometimes it's hard. Right now, the Shabbat day is on Monday. It's sundown Sunday to sundown Monday. Okay, in March, on the 20th and 21st of March this year, is a double Shabbat. Sundown on the 19th to sundown on the 20th is the first Shabbat. And then the new year comes in, sundown on the 20th, the sundown. On the 21st is another Shabbat. There are two Shabbat days in a row on those days. Bada bing, bada boom. That's the spring equinox. And the Shabbat day changes to sundown Monday night to sundown on Tuesday night at that point. So on the 28th of March, sundown of the 27th, the sundown of 28th, that's the Sabbath. It changes a day. It moves forward in the Gregorian calendar, not in the Hebrew calendar. The Hebrew calendar, Shabbat is Shabbat. Then in April, sundown on the 2nd to sundown on the 3rd is Passover. And the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th are the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, we will be meeting at our usual site, probably here, for Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We have a gathering. It is not mandatory. It is a fellowship of Israelites. Some people come for a couple of days. Everybody's eating unleavened bread during this whole time. Get all the leaven out of your house. But we meet and we camp and we just enjoy being with one another and being obedient. And we have a lot of Bible readings and we just sit around and talk and drink coffee and have a lovely, lovely gathering because we can. It's a retired people. It is not a mandatory gathering. You do Passover in your home and you do the Feast of Unleavened Bread in your life. If you go to work during the intermediate days that are not Sabbaths, you don't eat a sandwich made with bread. You brown bag it and you eat food with no leaven in it. Oh, come on, have a pastrami sandwich. No, thank you. This is a religious observance, and I'm going to eat food that is not leavened. I appreciate the offer and all that, but no, this is my faith, and this is how I live. And you use it as an opportunity to witness. The same way people ask me all the time about the tzitzit, the fringes from my four-cornered garment that are outside of my trousers, they're hanging down. I wear it over a t-shirt, and then I have a regular shirt over that. But the tzitzit hang outside because they're a reminder of all the laws that Yahweh gave us when we went in across the Sea of Reeds. These are the reminders of all the commandments. And when there's a thread of blue in my tzitzit, and people ask me about that, and I use it as a witnessing point. Because I'm obedient and wearing the four-cornered garment with a thread of blue and the tzitzit. That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion for fashion. That's a commandment to the men of Israel to do that. How many of us do it? I do because I believe and because I want to obey. Oh, well. You know, I can only lead by example. I can't force anything on anyone. Nor would I try. If it's not sincere from your heart, then it's not real. If you want to obey, then you will obey. And if you don't want to obey, then you will not. It has to come from your heart. And Yahweh will know. You don't have to prove anything to me. I'm nobody. I don't judge you. There is the Word. The Word is the judge. The Word of Yahweh says one thing. And if you do another, well, that's on you. What can I say to you? Well, I'm down the end of the time here, and I will say Shalom Aleichem, and I will talk to you on Monday when we begin chapter 11 of Yirmiyahu. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and have a good weekend. Shalom.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Royal leads against the foe.